in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
The Tidbit. We are live at the Value Add Ag Pitch hosted by the Mid-Atlantic Farm Credit, F3 Tech, an ag tech incubator on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and Washington County, Maryland's Economic Development Department. I am your host and the CEO of Curate, Kim Bryden, and we are so excited to bring you this episode of The Tidbit live and raw. And what's amazing about this convening is that we have seven different challengers today who are pitching their ag tech solutions to advance Maryland's agriculture industry. And it's ranging from high school students to farmers to people looking at diversity and inclusion in the ag sector. It's pretty incredible. And what I'm really excited about for today's episode is that we're talking about how there are these different innovations along the supply chain from farm to table. So take a listen to this new interesting way of us presenting the tidbit this week. It's a TED-style-esque talk, and it's live and raw, so I hope you enjoy learning more about this very interesting piece of the supply chain puzzle with Alice, the owner, proprietor, woman-led business of the Free State Cooperage. Do you know what a cooperage is? Tune in to find out. Let's take a listen to Alice.
Which should be located out in Garrett County. And what I'm hoping to do today is tell you a little bit about my personal story. I was really excited to hear this was a pitch competition because I got my start through a pitch competition. This is a passion path for me, a second career. I spent 20 plus years in higher education and international affairs doing economic development work and public-private partnerships. And I wanted to change. I wanted to bring all my efforts back home. I wanted to do something that I've always loved. I'm a huge foodie, so I talk up chefs everywhere I go, and I'm a big supporter of sustainable agriculture. I grew up on a family farm in Oregon, so it's in my blood. And so I took the leap and started my own marketing public relations firm called The Local Source. Represented a lot of small growers and producers, helping them get into the marketplace, including the largest organic growers cooperative out of Pennsylvania. And it was from there, representing a bunch of the wineries and distilleries, that I kept hearing the same thing come out. The distillers in particular couldn't grow, so there's a barrel shortage. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Why is there a barrel shortage? Well, turns out there is, for a number of reasons, which I'll talk about in a moment. But I noodled on this for a couple of years. And then the Power of Possibilities competition out of Garrett County, that Garrett County Economic Development Office and Garrett College sponsored, appeared. And I live in Annapolis. I've spent half my time in Deep Creek Lake, been going there for over 20 years, had a home there. So it's also my second home. And I thought, this makes sense. I want to use this competition to actually motivate me to write the business plan. I needed a hard deadline. And to also to do the market analysis to see if the idea was actually viable. And that's how Free State Cooperage came into being. So our vision is to liberate artisans one barrel at a time, to build the Made in Maryland brand, and to return the Free State to its heritage as a national leader in rye whiskey production. So have you ever been in a situation where you were poised and ready for growth, but external limitations were holding you back? That's what Free State Cooperage is addressing. That's the problem that we are addressing. There was a barrel shortage a number of years ago. It's eased a little bit, but it still exists, in part because white oak production, which is required, if you are gonna call yourself an American whiskey in the United States, you have to be aged in a new white oak barrel. I like that regulation. It keeps me in business. If you're a Scotch whiskey, it doesn't matter. You can use used barrels. But to be an American whiskey, it has to be new. And so there was an over-harvesting of white oak, particularly in Maryland, but certainly in the region across the United States. Maryland's Department of Natural Resources categorizes forestry and timber as an ag product. And so to one degree, it's fitting that I'm here because we also want to make sure there's sustainable forestry practices in place. There's also increasing demand. The explosion of the craft spirits industry was really driving up demand. And the big cooperages out there that provide the barrels were already supplying their largest clients. And they weren't giving any allocations to the smaller craft spirits folks that are out there. And so it made sense. It was the right timing to bring this idea back to Maryland. It was also the right time with the growth of the Made in Maryland brand. We had a resurgence when it came to our craft spirits industry. There are now a total of 1,825 craft distillers nationwide. That's an increase of 15.5% over last year. The Mid-Atlantic, we currently have 155 operational distilleries. When I first pitched this idea a few years back, there were only 100. It's growing that fast. So there's a huge need. And guess what? There's only one cooperage in the state of Maryland, Free State Cooperage. So that's the need that we're filling here. So as I said, we are Maryland's own cooperage. Our tagline, I'm big into marketing, is liberating artisans one barrel at a time. And that really goes into our mission as well. We custom craft our barrels, and that's a big distinction that I make when I'm talking with people. There are really three different levels of barrel making. The first is the traditional handcrafted approach, and we will offer that. My coopers will be trained in that practice. They're not yet. There's only one that has that skill. But that's truly the art form. You know, a real cooper, it's an apprenticeship program that you are apprenticed with a master cooper for 14 years. And at the end of it, to call yourself a cooper, you have to be able to take, somebody's got the raw stave over there. There's some props circling around. Take a stave and using nothing but hand tools, join it, plane it, and put it into the barrel form. It's a labor-intensive process. I can make a barrel. It takes me a while by hand, but I have trained with a master cooper in Michigan. We are known as free coopers and barrel technicians because I want to honor the heritage trade. So that is the purest form of barrel making. We're purpose-driven. So this is important to me. As I mentioned, I'm a huge supporter of sustainable agriculture, sustainable forestry. My dad worked in the timber industry in Oregon. I was out planting seedlings on the mountains, as a young kid. And it was really important to me when I was creating my business model that we be, and I am a registered Maryland benefit corporation, and what that means, as much as I cannot be a zero waste operation, just given what I do, but I can be sustainable and respectful of the environment with what I'm doing. I can ensure that who I am working with, my foresters and my timber suppliers, practice sustainable forestry practices. And I've also made the commitment that as a business, we are going to be giving back to our community one way or another. We will be active in our community. We are there to help our community grow, whether it's the county or it's the state or it's the region. Obviously, the success of any business is really dependent upon the team that you have. And it was really important to me to find and to continue to find. I am hiring. If anybody wants to become a cooper, or if anybody knows anybody wants to become a cooper, for the business. What I look for in my team members is not only a passion and a commitment to producing a quality product, but it's the understanding that it's a partnership as well. But most of our market space are the distilleries, which is why you hear me talk a lot about that. They come to us and say, okay, we're seeking this flavor profile, and we want to do something unique and different. My coopers engage with those distillers in a partnership, and it's a source of pride, actually, knowing that they're creating a barrel that's going to have their signature on it. It's going to go to this distillery, age for have some whiskey aging in it for a while. That's going to go into a bottle that they contributed to, because a brown spirit gets 65% of its flavor from the barrel. We play a big part when it comes to craft spirits. And so it's important for my coopers to understand and have those conversations with the distillers as to what they're looking for. And there's the creative part of it as well. I had one distiller in Frederick County, and I did a podcast lately where we talked about, I call it the barbecue char, because there are four char levels when it comes to barrels. And the one state that's going around that's charred is a char one. That's the lowest, and it goes up to a char four, which is the heaviest, the big chunky alligator that you're used to seeing that brings out the smokiness in the bourbons and whiskeys. He wanted to go to a char five. And I was just like, okay, well, that's campfire. But he's got a creative mindset, and he's working with some smoked corn because they grow their own corn, they mill their own corn, and he's smoking it, and he really wants that heavy smokiness. That's what I love, and that's the exciting part of it, because it's the partnership that comes together. So I train with two master coopers. One is out of Michigan, the craft spirits. The other is out of Napa Valley. He's my wine guy. And he was actually the one that convinced me I could really do this. Jason, he was like, look, Alice, he says, find the people with the right attitude and who are really interested in this. We can always train them to make a barrel. And I was like, okay, then let's go at this. And so both of those master coopers have helped me build out my operational plan and helped me with training. In fact, I've sent my staff out to Michigan to train, and then my Napa guy is going to come out and work with us because we got an exciting story, which I'm going to tell you about in a moment. When I was constructing my business plan, you know, obviously, at the end of the day, we want to do good, we want to contribute, but it's also a business. And we need to support ourselves, we need to support our employees, and hopefully build a profit margin so we have cushion for those days that something's going to go wrong, invariably, and you have to be able to support your operation. So it was really important to me to diversify my revenue streams. Obviously, the bulk of what I do is wholesale barrels, selling, you know, to commercial entities. That is the majority of what I do. That's my primary revenue source. Secondary is what I call the commercial retail. First person I hit up was Firefly Farms in Pablo, and I said, hey, you guys want a barrel for Free State Cooperage to put in your shop? And Pablo's like, yes. And so there's a market space, and you all know this, you know, wedding vendors want it, restaurants want it. I had some used barrels that I had that actually a restaurant out in Delaware that was opening picked up because he was going to use them in his little bar area. And so there's that whole thread. And I also call that commercial retail. There's coffee roasters that are now doing, you've probably seen it. There's some bourbon barrel aged coffee coming out. Maple syrup producers as well. So there's niche markets, and that's the commercial retail. And I will share this one story too. So we obviously will sell decorative grade barrels, what I call decorative grade barrels. They don't pass inspection for quality assurances to go out to the craft distilleries or wineries. My accountant, when we were working through my financials, he was like, why do you have so many decorative grade barrels in your revenue stream your first couple of years, but then it drops off by year three and five? And I said, because we get good at what we're doing. And it's true. You know, I'm not going to waste the labor, the cost of goods. It's going to go somewhere. And so part of this as well is we will chip. We'll take used barrels, we'll chip them, because again, we have, how many of you have been to Deep Creek? Other than those that live there? If you haven't been, you gotta go, okay? It's awesome. And I'm not plugging now for the office tourism, but I will. Because again, it's part of, you know, my commitment to the benefit organization. Deep Creek Lake is Maryland's year-round playground. And that's what I fell in love with it. There's something for everybody every season. You know, Deep Creek Lake gets 1.2 million tourists through the region each year. And, you know, when it's a rainy day, what do you want to do? And other than the fact that a cooperage is so cool because we play with fire, and who doesn't want to see that? So we have intentionally planned to offer tours to the public, and with that, we will have a tasting room. And so you don't have to be 21 to tour the cooperage. You do have to be 21 to sample. But this is part of the virtuous cycle again. So if you're buying barrels from me, I want to sell your product, because again, these are a lot of small entities that don't have the resources to distribute. Most of them self-distribute, so they can't get out into markets as easily. Or because they're small, and if they are with a distributor, they're not getting the level of attention that really pushes their product. 1.2 million visitors, a good portion of those are going to come through the cooperage. Based on the data I've seen on how much they spend, they're okay spending on craft spirits. So yeah, I'm going to help my clients reach a marketplace that they may not otherwise have access to. My market space is the Mid-Atlantic. This is very intentional. I promote the cooperage as serving Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and DC. Because I've got friends that are setting up cooperages elsewhere, and we don't want to necessarily artificially compete. I'm going to sell a barrel to anybody that wants a barrel. I got an email from the founder and head distiller at San Diego Distillery saying, "Hey, I was just in Deep Creek. I'm so sorry I missed you. I just noticed that you were here." And I'm like, "San Diego Distillery is in Deep Creek Lake?" So I'm like, "Hey, that's okay. We're not open for the public yet." I said, "But what brought you to Deep Creek?" His wife's from Pittsburgh. They come to Deep Creek every summer. And he's like, "I want to buy barrels from you." And I'm like, "Cool. I'll send barrels to San Diego. That's no problem. I'm sending barrels back to Oregon, my hometown, because the distiller there is paying way too much for his barrels out of California. He'll save more by buying them from me, even though he has to pay for shipping." So it's tapping into that other revenue stream as well. Do I rely on the tourism? No. But it is an important part of my vertical revenue. So for me, the biggest expense I have is my payroll and the wood. Because I have to buy 3 years' worth of wood in advance, because it seasons for a year before I build a barrel. And for wine barrels, it has to season at least 2 years. So I've got an inventory I'm carrying, but really it's payroll. So if there's any word of advice I can give you as you're pitching and building business plans, take the time to build your financials and make sure they're strong. Everybody's got a great idea. If your financials don't stand up behind it, nobody's going to pay attention to you. And so that's how I went a lot of these, because people are like, "Wow, you've gotten so granular." I said, "Well, hey, first of all, I know it inside and out." That's the other thing. Don't rely on an accountant. I mean, you've got to use an accountant. I am not an accountant. I love my accountant. My accountant, my lawyer, my two BFFs. But don't just, you've got to know your business. Pay attention and know the numbers, and you will wow people if you do that. So that's my word of advice. So our other tagline, we play with fire, which really is the cool thing. We really do flame a barrel. For whiskey barrels, they have to catch on fire for a certain period of time to char them. And then we douse them with water, and it's the fun part. What we are hoping to do is launch. We are actually going into a business park that the county owns, and we're hoping to build a building. I'm pretty freaking excited. The only thing that's added is we added a second chimney. I convinced my architect that I needed two fireman spaces. So it's a pretty sexy building. It really is. Y'all have to come out and visit. It's a steel pole building, but it's designed to be attractive for the tourism element, and that was really important to me. I did look at a number of options that I could retrofit, but they were just too industrial. And so it's keeping with the aura, so to speak. I will point out, so I am a member of the Maryland, or Free State Cooperage is a member of the Maryland Distillers Guild, associate member. I am the heritage partner for Virginia Distillers Association, which means I am the exclusive cooperage for Virginia. It's the good housekeeping stamp of approval. They can go anywhere they want, but that was important to me to get that designation. Now, granted, I paid for all this, but it's valuable. Knowing your networks and knowing where you need to be, so it is that networking opportunity, it's that visibility. I had somebody, you would know who this is, and Deep Creek's just like, "You've got more business before you've even started making a barrel." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Because you got to build your market, you got to, you know, build the interest. I need to know if this is actually going to work. I have commitments for sales, and it was these partnerships that helped. I'm also a member of the American Distilling Institute, of course, the Associated Coopery Industries of America, and the Craft Coopers Guild. Build your networks. I'm also a member of Garrett's Chamber of Commerce and all the other relevant ones. But what are the really important networks that are going to help you and your business gain visibility off the ground when you first start? And that's me making a barrel. With that, I will say thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions. And I will also say, y'all are going through this, and any, so those of you going to go on to Ag Pitch, I'm always available. Give me a call if you have a question, want to brainstorm an idea. I'm an educator at heart, too, so thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this live version of the Tidbit at the Value Add Ag Pitch. We were live in Hagerstown, Maryland. If you are interested in having us cover one of your events about food business, supply chain, supply and demand needs, let us know. Or if you're an entrepreneur and you're looking for us to cover a particular topic, we'd love to hear from you. Say hello at curate.co, curate.co. And always leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love to hear your feedback about the Tidbit. And until next time, everybody, remember to scale thoughtfully and source locally.